Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Soon,
the Pride will be with us.
Yeah, man, where's he at?
I don't know. He's doing Baselli things in Baselli land.
In Baselli world.
Yeah, wherever that is.
Whatever that is and wherever that is.
Hey, you and I are here for day number one of training camp 2017. We didn't cramp up or anything, Jeff.
No, I hydrated pretty good now.
I did too.
You know, I did two things. I got the sunblock on and I hydrated before I got here and while I was here. So I did pretty good.
It wasn't even that sunny today. It was cloudy for a while. The sun came out and it got hot for, 30 minutes and then it rained at the end.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, and because of the location of the press people.
The north end.
Which is north end, and that's kind of where everybody's restricted to, which is fine. You can still watch practice. But, the one good thing is where that area is was where the offensive and defensive lines are at.
Pretty cool.
So in one of the most important positions that you're going to be looking at, I think most from an evaluation standpoint, it's right there in front of you, and you got to watch it up close and personal, and you got to watch the individual periods of both groups. And I really kind of hung out and watched the offensive line, which is, it's kind of boring because, the offensive linemen, are very unexciting in my opinion. Just throwing that out
there. Come on.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, so I figured I might get a response from him.
Woke him up. Tony Baselli. Where are you, Tony?
I'm actually in Nashville. I'm doing a little scouting of the Tennessee Titans tonight.
Nice. Probably eating some barbecue while you're there, too, knowing.
Not yet. I will be, though.
Yes, very soon. So,
Jeff, question for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'll be at practice tomorrow, and I almost thought of boycotting practice until Saturday night when the pads go on, but I'm going to come tomorrow. If the media section is not near 1-on-1 pass rush, are you telling me we're not going to be able to go down and watch it?
If it's not there, I mean, hopefully they kind of keep it, where the individual drills are at, which I would expect them to do that. But, if it happens to be on the south end, which, Tony, I don't think it's ever been down there. I think we're going to be okay.
Well, can we invoke, ex-player privileges? We're actually, helping?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony, your name's on the wall, for goodness sakes. You can go wherever you want.
Yeah. I don't know if TC believes that.
He hasn't been out of the stadium yet? Okay.
No, it's true. He's not. But he might track me down.
I think we're going to be good on that because, one-on-one pass rush drill, which they did not do that today at all, Tony, by the way.
Right.
They did some one-on-one type of pass rush or half lines, when they went out there. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a team period, but they did half-line pass rushes out there, but they did not have a individual period that had one-on-ones, defensive versus offensive line and pass protection.
Yeah, they did that half line a lot of times. I think the main reason is to limit the injury risk. You don't have guys coming from both sides running into each other.
Right.
You're still getting a good work with some. You're obviously getting one-on-one work, but you can slide the offensive line a little bit, and then also you can start getting some games, the TEs and the ETs by the ends and the tackle. So it's good work.
Tony, I was kind of chuckling at the end of practice, because at the very beginning, the practice structure typically goes, they go out there and they do their thing of stretching and warming up, and, after they do the warm-up period, defense goes to their field, offense goes to their field, and they do plays on air, okay? And, Tony, this well. They call screenplay, okay? And the offensive lineman get out in front, and then everybody runs down the field 15, 20 yards.
They score. Hey, nice.
And then the second group goes up, right? Well, Cam Robinson, who was working with the second team at left tackle, the screenplay, and he sprints down the field, and he's looking all fresh and excited and athletic. And I'm going, hey, looks good. Okay. Well, after that, then they go to individual period. And Pat Flaherty has the offensive line in two different groups. You got one with the assistant offensive line coach and one with Pat. And they're doing bag drills over here, and they're doing explosion drills over there, and then they're doing next time they're doing the sled over here,
medicine balls over
and
here,
and med balls, you know, right. And it's nonstop, back and forth and back and forth, and that athletic Cam Robinson, it looked like somebody threw an anchor out behind his boat and he was dragging it. It took about a half of an individual period, but it was amazing how slow he got, but he recovered nicely, had a nice practice. But to watch the pros, the guys that have been doing this for some time, the Brandon Linders, Bowanko even, Parnell, right tackle.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, these guys, I mean, when the young players are getting exhausted, the veteran guys powering through it. Same thing with the defensive line. Calais Campbell didn't look tired in that practice at all. Whereas some of the younger guys,
part of the,
they look tired.
You know, part of that is, too, Jeff, it's a couple things. One, veterans know how to, you know, what's coming, kind of how to work their way through practice. But as a rookie, and I remember feeling this, there's anxiety as well. And that anxiety makes you more tired. So those nerves, I don't care who you are, and you say, well, they did OTAs, yeah, but now all of a sudden camp starts, it's different. And so there's some nerves, trust me, they're feeling out there and as they get on the field. Those nerves get to you a little bit. Question for you guys. How read me the starting offensive line. I know Cam Robinson wasn't a guard like I was politicking for, but read me the starting offensive line.
Today, left tackle, Brandon Albert, left guard, Tyler Shatley, Brandon Linder at center, A.J. Cann at right guard, and Jeremy Parnell at right tackle.
That tells me with A.J. Cann at right guard and Linder at right at center, that if Cam Robinson does not beat out Brandon Albert, which I do not think he will be your left guard.
Let me say this, Tony.
You know, that's my opinion.
It's only been one practice, and I got the same impression today from seeing that lineup. But let me add this in that watching Brandon Albert today, he's got some acclimating to do.
Come on, Jeff. Yeah. You guys have been doing it forever.
No, I know.
We haven't got pads on yet.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Two-time Pro Bowl.
No, I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that it's a bad. I'm just saying that he needs to acclimate. And Tony, you saw him in minicamp.
I get you.
And he's still got to kind of get his legs under him, as a lot of people do. And I'm not saying that that's a shot or a negative at him at all. I'm just saying that he needs to get his legs under him, and it's going to be fun to watch that battle, because it will be a battle.
You think it's a real battle, Jeff?
Well, here's the thing. It's going to be a battle for this week, which was a very short week, and then next week, because I think interpreting what Doug Marrone said in his press conference today and what he said here tonight, Tony, is that once they get through those five padded practices in a row, they've got to have a feel for what is going on and where everything is at.
Yeah, they feel like they will know their best five at least, certainly, by the end of next week.
And then the week going to New England, then they may adjust whatever they have to do.
I hope none of these guys are slow starters.
Right.
I'll tell you, that's the hard part with training camp nowadays. If you have a bad week, you might not be out of a job.
Might.
Like when we played, Jeff, I mean, 1 week was 10 practices. I mean, so 2 weeks, you had 20 practices in 2 weeks. You had some time to recover if you had a couple of bad days.
Yeah, not anymore.
Nope.
So Cam Robinson, who's never played guard in his career, you think has a chance, Tony?
Yeah, I do. But I've said that from day one now. If you listen to everyone there, they are adamant that he is a left tackle and he's competing for the left tackle job. I'm just telling you. Based on, I thought it was before they ever lined up today. Based on hearing how they lined up, I think Cam Robinson will be starting left guard come the beginning of the season. I think that's your best five.
No, let's see how it plays out. I mean, it could. It very well could. But you never know.
It could not. I could be dead wrong.
You never know. That's a Dolphins. The line's going to be very intriguing. And, Tony, today, all during OTAs, mini camp, Bowanko was working at guard. Today he was with second team center. I thought that was interesting because, you know.
Because they had Shatley at guard today.
Well, both Tony and I like, you know, Bowanko. He's very athletic. Heck, he started an entire year as rookie year, yeah. You know, and he's had some time to get some strength up, get some size to him. I thought he looked good out there, but he's going to look good in no pads, you know, because he's so athletic.
He's a big guy, right?
No, he's athletic. Yeah. I mean, he runs around probably and moves better than most of the offensive line that they have. But it's going to be interesting, going to be intriguing to kind of see how all that plays out along multiple positions on the offensive line. I mean, not just the starters, but also the backups.
Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson had a few nice connections today, Logs.
Yeah, you know, what happened in that one? There was a period where Blake Bortles wasn't.
One of the last team periods,
yeah,
IV.
He had an IV.
There were a few guys that went and got IVs.
Yeah, he had the little wrap around his elbow, yeah. And I was going,
what do you mean, got an IV?
Yeah, I mean, Tony, am I misstating it? But quarterbacks aren't allowed to have IVs in training camp practices, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We've been out to practice one day on a single practice with no pads on, and we have guys, including the quarterback, getting IVs? What in the good? I mean, it's crazy. What are we doing here?
Tony, I'm telling you now.
It's the Doug Marrone.
Holy cow.
Tony.
That practice had some serious tempo. I mean, serious tempo.
More,
no, it did.
More tempo than Tom had?
I would say yes. I would say that practice today had more tempo than Tom, but when Tom was a coach, you had true two-a-day. So they did not waste any second in this practice, I can tell you that. The only time the big guys got a break was when there was a special teams period.
Well, here's the thing. This is where, as an offensive lineman, we never got a break in the practices when Tom was
did.
A coach.
Special
no,
teams
we did not. When they went special teams, Mays had us down there doing individual.
Yeah, but it was real slow, and he was talking.
No, there was hand movement. Especially training
camp. Your memory's gone bad, Tony.
I'll tell you one thing. Mark Brunell never got a dang IV.
Well, that's because he didn't work hard enough to get an IV.
Well, that's beside the point. I mean,
but quarterbacks, they're not on that.
Was it that hot? Was it that hot out there?
It was humid.
It was humid. It was 85 degrees and it was humid. But Tony, you know how I usually sweat, just standing around.
Yeah,
no, I was good.
Yeah, did you get an IV box?
No.
Just so you know where the radio guy.
No, but I can tell you, JP almost got one.
No. That's a lie.
God.
Yeah. Straight lie.
No, you almost got one.
I wore an extra layer today.
Yeah, I know. That's
what
why
are you talking about?
You were looking.
I didn't get an. I was strong at the end.
JP, you have an extra layer every day.
Yeah, it's great, Tony. Let's come back and get into the defense a little bit on that note. Hey, go to Jaguars.com/get in the game to register for your chance to win a spot on the field at the August 24th game against the Carolina Panthers. 10 lucky winners will receive 2 pregame field passes and 2 tickets to the game. The contest closes Thursday, August 3rd. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Coming up at Daly's Place tonight, Lady Antebellum, a 7:30 start. That's right around the corner. Straight No Chaser coming Wednesday, August 2nd. Foreigner with Cheap Trick and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. That's Thursday, August 3rd. A full schedule and tickets available at Daly'sPlace.com. And if you're watching on Jaguars.com right now, video. It's a live look inside Daly's Place, 15 minutes away or so from Lady Antebellum.
I'm excited about the Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience.
That'd be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that would be very cool.
I guess that's John Bonham's son, right? I would think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. The original.
I'm bummed I'm missing this Lady Antebellum.
Oh,
I love
them. Is that your band, Tony?
No, it's one of them. I'm a big country fan, and I like Lady Antebellum.
Well, there you go. They're tonight. Too bad you're out of town.
I know. I'm out of town.
All right. Tony, it was announced on Wednesday that Brandon Linder had signed an extension. And when I saw the news, I was like, that's a no-brainer. And
sure.
Now, seeing the numbers, I think it's $24 million guaranteed, a little over $50 million, 4-year extension. I think it's and it makes him, what, the highest-paid center?
Highest-paid center. He would be the third highest-paid guard.
Which, good for the team. And good for Brandon Linder.
I agree with you as far as good for Brandon Linder. I was surprised typically if you do a guy early, you don't have to make him the highest paid player at his position, especially if he's a guy who's not made the Pro Bowl or All Pro. I'm with you, Logs. I think he's an outstanding player, and I'm glad we locked him up for the long term. I was just surprised at the numbers that they felt like they had to go that high to get the deal done. From the player side, I'm ecstatic for Brandon Linder. Love it. Get as much as you can, and he's a very good player. But the numbers did surprise me a little bit.
Were you surprised him being at center? I wasn't. I kind of expected him to be there.
No, I mean, I've been on the record, and I'm either going to be the smartest guy in the radio booth or the dumbest, as usual. But I thought he'd be center the entire time, and I thought that Cam Robinson would be the left tackle with Brandon Albert outside. So, no, I'm not surprised he's at center. I think that's where they see him in the future, because I think they probably feel like it's easier to go find another good guard than try to find a good center. And Linder can play either at a high level, and I think they've chosen him to be a center, at least for the near future.
Tough without pads, I know, Logs, but what did you think of Leonard Fournette today? First round.
This would be great. Generational back. That's what I can't.
Well, I'm a big fan of him. I'm not going to deny it, Tony. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to backtrack on it. And I can tell you he looked great. First of all, the number of repetitions and the amount of running that he did, I thought he handled extremely well today.
Because he's sprinting all the way down the field.
Yes, I thought he handled his conditioning looked very good. He looked a little more svelte than he did in OTA's mini camp, which is a sign that he's in pretty good shape. And he continues to show very good hands in the passing game, which, I mean, he was smooth catching the ball today. So I was very impressed. And I think the one thing that I really liked with him today was how he kind of picks his holes. And there was one play, and I can't remember if I pointed it out to you.
Yeah, I was standing there with you, yeah.
And, Tony, you know how when a running back goes into the hole and somebody gets around a leg, because somebody always ends up on the ground, and he jumps over. And when he jumps over, he had to land on one foot and then jump over and land on that foot again. And it was the strength in his legs to be able to do that. And this wasn't at the beginning of practice. I mean, this was later.
It was
2 hours into the practice,
right? Yeah, it was way back.
I thought that was impressive. So I thought he had a very strong first day.
I joke because that's what I like to do and give Logs a hard time about his generational back. I wasn't there to see him, but I thought he looked good in OTAs. And I think he's going to be a good player. I've said that since we drafted him. Even though early, I would have gone a different direction than running back. But if you were going to go running back in this draft, he by far was the best player. And I think he's going to be a big asset. With that said, I don't think you can tell much outside of the one thing Log said that is a good indicator is how he catches the ball out of the backfield. I mean, whether you have pads on or not, that's going to show up one way or another. That is a good sign. I think it's hard to evaluate backs and their ability to hit the hole and run when they know they're not going to get hit and there's no pads on. So I'm looking forward to Saturday night, though. I'm really looking forward to it. I think for this team to do what they would like this year, what we would like them to do, which is, you know, contend for the division, winning record, Leonard Fournette has to be the best offensive player on this team.
You're right.
Meaning he's running. We're running the ball and playing good defense for this team to get where they want to. That has to happen.
Tony, there was a moment in practice today that I was chuckling, and it was kind of towards the end. You know, where these guys were kind of getting gassed, and Fournette I thought looked the same speed throughout practice. Would you agree, JP?
No, I think that's fair. Absolutely.
His stamina was good and everything else. Well, how fast is Corey Grant? I mean, he's like what? World-class speed,
yeah.
Right? I mean, what does he run the 40?
4.24.
Yeah, he's like 4.2.
Yeah.
Tony, there was a play that Corey Grant was on the field at running back, and a guy who runs 4.2, he looked like he was a 5.0 on this play. 5.0, 40-yard. Oh, the gas, the needle was bouncing on E.
Piano junk get on his back.
Oh, yeah. The anchor was out, piano on his back, all the terms that you use. But, yeah, 2 hours in. But that was when I talk about Fournette and how impressive and how in shape he looked, compare that to, you know, a smaller type of back in Corey Grant, you know, who's a 4.2 guy, and then look, he's looking like 4.9, 5.0, you know, there towards the end of practice. So, It was kind of a funny moment.
We did get to see T.J. Yeldon today as well, coming off an ankle issue, all the rehab, everything, and he was on the field today too. How do you think T.J. fits into this mix this year? If he does.
He's going to be a role player, and he's got to play on special teams.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's going to be
he's the third back.
Yeah, I mean, he's third back, and it's third back, and you know, Chris Ivory's the backup on first and second down. T.J. Yeldon's going to be the backup on third down probably, and he's got to learn how to play special teams, and he's athletic enough. The only thing I think that would be a little concerning is that he doesn't have super speed for a running back, but I think he's got plenty of speed to play special teams. And he's and look, T.J. Yeldon has always been a good football player, and good football players can be good football players on special teams. Which makes,
if
you know,
they want to.
We sit here and we talk about, well, you know, what kind of role is T.J. going to have on running back? Well, if Fournette becomes the dominant back and clearly the man, then it makes your special teams better because now T.J. Yeldon
has more time.
Has more time, yeah, and can play on all four core of the special teams, which is good for the team.
Which they're going to put an emphasis on, it sounds like. Hey, listener Doug Moreau tonight.
Hey, look, Tony, Dante Fowler, Yannick Ngakoue, you know, Paul Posluszny, Telvin Smith, everybody getting reps on special teams today.
Well,
everybody's available.
Dante Fowler should. I mean, some of those guys, I mean, why is it shocking some of those guys? I mean, you're talking about the third linebacker, Paul Posluszny. You're talking about your backup defensive end in Dante Fowler. I mean, they should be on special teams, shouldn't they, Jeff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know how many special teams those guys were on last year or how effective they
were. Well, I mean, Puz was playing every snap of defense. You're not going to put them on special teams last year.
Well, you know, during the Doug Marrone show, Tony, I thought that he had a great story.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And he said it was a moment that made a big impression on him, and this was back when he was a player, I think, for the New Orleans Saints. I don't think it was when he was a coach. There's a special teams coach that was in New Orleans for a very long time. I've known him for many years. His name is Joe Marciano.
I know Joe. He's
okay, you know Joe. Well, when Doug was in the room, team meeting, and Joe Marciano was addressing the team, he told everybody that, you know, I'm going to introduce you or have the best special teams player stand up. And he pointed to Sam Mills. Sam Mills stands up. And Joe tells everybody, look, this right here is probably our best special teams player. He's not going to be playing on special teams in the preseason games, but he will play special teams. And he's going to play special teams. And I expect everybody else in this room to be able to play special teams.
He's our starter. He's our captain. He's
That's right.
All the accolades that come with that. And he's a special teams guy, too.
That's right. And a really good one.
Yeah.
And I
think
that's
it's a great story.
It's a great story.
You know, it's a great message to a team, especially a young team. And you don't see that very often anymore, though, Jeff, where those top-line guys are playing teams as well.
No, but they need to. You know, you got to contribute on one, at least. You know, I mean, there's certain guys.
You played a team. I played teams.
Yeah, well, you and I were on field goal. I was on field goal block.
That's teams.
Occasionally, teams, and field goal protection.
Punt safe. You were on punt safe, too, Jeff.
Yeah, I was on punt safe.
Punt safe, you got that one.
I was on punt safe.
Very nice.
But I mean,
how'd that go for?
Hey, for the first,
where'd you line up?
Hey, I was a defensive end. I was a containment rusher.
Right. Okay.
But I can tell you, for the first five years of my career, I was on my first couple years. Now I was on every special team. Huh. Started on defense and played every special team. This is the way it is.
The one special team I was so glad I never had to do in college or in the pros, I did in high school, was kickoff return. Being the guy where you have to run back and set the wedge. Oh, that right there, man. Dude, that is a headache waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite special team story, though, of guys contributing on special teams that you wouldn't expect. I don't know if you remember this, though, Jeff. In 1996, Jeff, we used to have on Fridays, you'd have special teams, and the special teams we did back then was kickoff return. And so you would have to get a scout kickoff coverage team. Well, by Friday, we were giddy and jacking around and having fun. And so a bunch of us linemen would run out there and, you know, act like we're covering kicks, and I might do one or, you know, just messing around. make Tom mad and yell at us. And but Jeff Novak would go out there, and Jeff Novak could run.
Oh, he could really run.
And, I mean, really run. So he did it, like, every week. So then finally, he convinced Larry Pasquale, the special teams coach, to let him go on in the game kickoff coverage. Because he didn't practice, and he was beating, tying guys down there. And he's like, all right. So we line up for the, you know, St. Louis Rams back then. And it's the opening kickoff. And Jaguars were kicking off, and Jeff Novak's lined up. And, you know, all this offensive line, we stick together. So we're all, you know, usually we'd be sitting on the bench just because the defense is going to be out there just kind of go over our stuff. And we're all up on the sideline cheering our guy on. And he takes off, and he is, I mean, he's moving. About 15 yards into it.
He gets blindsided.
No, better than getting blindsided. It's like a sniper shot him from the top of the dome.
Pulled a hammy.
He tears his hamstring.
Oh, no.
And literally goes down in a heap.
Oh, no.
And I'm pretty sure Tom yelled at Larry, yelled at Jeff, because now we only suited 7 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And so now we have 6 after the opening kickoff.
Wow.
So, to say the least, that was the end of the offensive line running down on any kind of special teams like that. But it was fun while it lasted.
Let's come back and get into the Jags defense today. A.J. Bouye.
He looked really good.
He had a great day today. Him and A-Rod, that might be a good matchup here in camp coming up. Dale Ramsey's off to the side right now, as is Aaron Colvin. Let's come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We're back. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli is on the line with us tonight. We're on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville and also on Jaguars.com, live video stream, and the @Jaguars handle on Twitter and Periscope. So check us out. I would say each and every Thursday, but, you know, next week will be these two shows, Doug Marone's show and Jaguars Thursday, and then 4 consecutive Thursday preseason games. We won't have a show for a month.
Nice. Well, we were talking about that. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of a consistency. And I always liked it when preseason games were equally spaced out. You always hated it when you had one of them on a Saturday, and then all of a sudden you turned around and played, you know,
Thursday.
The next Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, short week. But for us, from a player standpoint, having them all on Thursday, just right.
Dig it. From a broadcaster standpoint, too.
I don't know. Consistency, JP. That's what we look
for.
That's
what we're looking for.
Yeah, we like consistency.
We're trying to win today, yes. We're winning. A.J. Bouye had a nice day today. Let's go defense now. He's the only, I guess, starting corner, if you want to go there, on the field. Jalen Ramsey's out right now. Aaron Colvin's out. They're both on the PUP list. So Bouye today against Allen Robinson. That's a pretty good treat we're going to have in camp coming up.
Great matchup, and I think the most impressive thing, Tony, was the number of times that A.J. was contesting the ball with the wide receiver. And, look, we know that Jalen Ramsey has been able to do that, but there hasn't been a whole lot of anybody else doing that over the last couple of years here. So, you know, he's a high-priority free agent, highly paid free agent, and we – today got to see firsthand why, because I thought he had a very nice first day.
Well, you just said that's why you paid him all that money, is because you needed more contested balls, you need more pass breakups, you need tighter coverage, and you had one guy who was doing that, especially in the second half of the year, and Jalen Ramsey, and you know all of us think he's going to be a superstar, and you paid a lot of money for a guy who did it at an extremely high level last year. Now, it was 1 year. And we even liked him before last year, though, Jeff. We had talked about him and some of his nickel roles, some of the things he did. He didn't have as prominent as a role as he did this past year. So, you know, it was, you know, that's what you'd like to see. Now, I really want to see when you get Jalen out there. And was there any, has there been any word at all, Jeff or JP, on kind of the time frame of how long people think he's going to be on the PUP list?
No, and I don't think they're willing to talk about it, you know, because it's not something that they have to talk about. So both Aaron Colvin and Jalen Ramsey, there has been no time frame even discussed. But on the flip side of that, it was good to see Barry Church and Tashawn Gibson out there today. So, you know, you got, you know, three quarters of the, you know, base defense, you know, three fifths of the nickel defense out there. So, Jalen, I don't worry about.
No, he'll be ready to roll, man.
Yeah, I get the impression he's one of those guys that
and you really don't want
probably
him
have one practice
a lot of the preseason, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he needs reps in the defense, and he needs reps with, you know, the new guys that he's going to be working with. But
10 days? How about 10 days of practice before the opening season?
Yeah, so he's still a young player. I mean, you'd like to see him get as much as possible, you know. But
no, not as much as possible. We know he can play. Okay, I'll give you 2 weeks, Log. I don't think we need 4 weeks of Jalen Ramsey.
Let's not fall in that trap like last year. You know, after the Jets game, we're like, let's put them all in bubble wrap. They're fine for the regular season.
Oh, I agree with you there, but I think we've seen more than a preseason. We saw Jalen Ramsey play at a high level. I'm not saying give him all of camp off, but one or two preseason games is all I need to see and get him ready for the regular season.
I'm with you. I'm with you on
that.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, let's say two preseason games.
Yeah. That was essentially only playing two anyway.
Fair enough. So,
you know,
week two.
What about my? You know, the big question I had. The only thing I'm disappointed I missed today of the non-padded practice was, where did Dante Fowler line up? And did you guys sense at all his off-field issues affected the way he practiced or the way he was viewed in practice?
No, I thought that Dante had a very good practice. I thought he had energy. He was flying around. Had a couple good pass rush moves. In fact, he had a very good pass rush move, but then got a little too close to Chad Henne and was coming in from the blind side to simulate the tomahawk chop and brushed against Chad Henne. And I think part of that was that Chad kind of maybe moved into him a little bit. But either way, Dante got sent off the field and kind of got a scolding that you don't touch the quarterback. They wear a red jersey for a reason. But
we heard the scolding in the end zone, but yes.
Yes.
You didn't have to strain.
Yeah, you could hear it. Yeah. Very faint, but you could see it.
Who did the scolding?
That would be Doug Marrone.
Yeah, that would have been head coach.
Oh, Doug. Okay, I didn't know if Doug did or Wash or one of the coordinators.
No, but I think it was one of those harmless things that, you know, he wants to, work on his stuff, which is blind side of the quarterback, flash that arm up, you know, to
who did he beat?
That I don't remember. That's a great question.
I don't remember, Tony.
Who is he working with?
I don't think it was the ones.
Yeah, they were rolling guys in and out at that point. I can tell you this, that there was a couple. Yannick Ngakoue had a great inside move and beat Brandon Albert underneath.
Ngakoue's a good pass rusher.
Yes, yes. He had a very strong practice, and there was another instance where Brandon Albert got beat to the outside, and I want to say that was against Dante. But I don't think that was the play that we're talking about. But anyway, a good start for Dante, and you know, we've always known he practices 100 miles an hour. I mean, he's got energy to burn, and so it was just like we would expect.
Jeff, I just hope he isn't one of those guys that just teases you in practice and when it counts, can't just doesn't have that next gear to play. Because we've seen it all the time, guys who really practice hard and fly around. And then, as we also all know, the game goes up another level, and I don't care what anyone says. And certain guys can take it to that next level, and certain guys can't. And I hope he's one of them that can.
I hope. Yeah. I know that he had to address the media yesterday.
Yeah, Wednesday, yeah.
And talked with them about the transgressions, and he apologized. And
about 3.5 minutes.
And said that, you know, he wants to be a leader. And my reaction to that was like, look, I'm glad that, you know, he – realizes that he did some things that weren't good, he's got a long way to go if he wants to be considered a leader.
And that bothers me. Oh, how do we go from being arrested off the field to wanting to be a leader? How about let's just say, you know what, I want to come take care of my business. I need to be a better teammate, and I need to be a professional. There's a bunch of steps from being, you know, off the field issues to leadership, in my opinion.
They got leaders on defense right now, right?
Got plenty of them.
Yeah.
He just needs, you know, because Dante is a freakish athlete. He does a lot of things that are a lot of fun to watch out on that football field. He just needs to take care of business and be a pro. Be a pro on the field and be a pro off the field.
Yeah, I kind of chuckled when he said he didn't think he had a maturity issue.
Part of
being mature is making right decisions. And, you know, that latest instance is not a sign of maturity. But anyway, hopefully he's learned something from it.
Camp has started, and back to football, as they say. Hey, let's come back and read some other people's headlines, especially the Dallas Cowboys. They've been in the news lately.
Can we spend 30 seconds on Blake Bortles?
We can, yeah.
Sure.
Let's come back and do that.
All right.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Final moments of Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
There are 9 more training camp dates open to the public this summer, including tomorrow morning, 10:30. Saturday's practice, season ticket members only. That's a night practice, 6:30 p.m. start. Next week's the big week. 5 consecutive padded practices. And then the 2 workouts against the Buccaneers, week 2 of the preseason. To attend, you must register at jaguars.com/training camp. Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. And, yeah, Tony Baselli is with us on the line in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, guys.
Music City, USA.
All right, so what do you want to know about Blake Bortles?
If you're on Jaguars.com, I mean, you can watch us, too.
Who wants to look at you?
My wife.
All right,
she's watching
all right, so
Jaguars.com.
Let's stop talking about, you know, people wanting to look at you and all that kind of stuff. Can we get to the –
Jeff wants to
What do you want to know about Blake Bortles?
How do you look?
I thought he looked good today. I thought it was a good start. You know?
How'd the ball come out,
the
Jeff?
Ball, the ball actually spun pretty good. So that was one of the things that I looked at. Now, it wasn't perfect, but there was one throw that he made on a crossing route that I remember going towards the south part of the end zone that he made a throw on. And it was a great throw. Great throw. But, I mean, overall, it looked like the ball spun pretty good. Allen Robinson, I thought, had a very good start. First day looked very strong. So, and then Blake kind of disappeared for a little bit, and we're like, where'd he go? And obviously get the IV. Came back, was ready to rock, you know, and I thought he the last part of practice before the rain, thunder, lightning kind of started, I thought he finished up pretty good.
Did the, I guess one of the things that watching some of the video that we were playing on Jaguars.com, it made me think back, you know, let me say this first, because I guess it was a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, we basically said there's nothing Blake can do until we get the pads on and really until it becomes live that's going to get us too much confidence that, you know, he's taking the next step. Remember us talking about that, Jeff, that,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to put one caveat into that, because as I was watching him throw with his elbow high and the ball not being dropped down at all in any of the pictures I saw just now, and I saw the same thing in OTAs. I do remember conversations on the sidelines last year during training camp, even when we were all very positive about everything, comments being made about how low his release had gotten.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing. That means he's worked. He put his time in.
He talked extensively today after practice about, you know, the time spent in California. So from the end of the mini camp until the start of training camp, how he went back to kind of polish up and continue to work on the mechanics. And that was something that Ron talked about earlier today, was about how that was one of the things that, you know, they were looking for, you know, where were they beginning training camp at? Was it where they finished OTA's mini camp, or was it going back to the beginning of OTA's mini camps? And Doug seemed to be happy with where he started at compared to where he finished. So, I mean, that's positive, but at the end of the day, Tony, that's all good. But when the lights come on, need to see him play better. Yeah, pretty simple.
Mechanics, one thing. Decision making, another. Let's go around the National Football League and start off with America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Cut Lucky Whitehead after missing his arraignment for shoplifting charges, but then the charges were dropped by the authorities in Virginia. His identity was falsely provided after an arrest for petite larceny. The cut stayed. He was claimed off waivers by the Jets. Bad luck for the Cowboys.
The Jets are claiming everybody right now, by the way. But, you know, the Cowboys, who, by the way, lead the league in suspensions, et cetera, I kind of chuckled because they cut a guy. They didn't believe him when he told them it wasn't me, okay? And it wasn't him. It was somebody that used his name.
Apparently, he sat across from Jason Garrett and said, I didn't do this. And Garrett said, I don't believe you.
Yeah. And he's a guy that the team has leaned on to do different things. They gave him, the Dallas Cowboys have given him control of their social media accounts for like, you know, a day or a weekend. So they obviously had trusted him. And to now all of a sudden, you know, falsely accused, and they don't believe him. They ended up apprehending the real suspect. But it kind of makes the Cowboys look terrible because
this is the instance they draw the hard line.
Yeah, they try to draw a hard line when Jerry Jones has never drawn a hard line, as evidenced by the number of suspension and the players that they've had on that football team. So the Dallas Cowboys, they kind of dropped the ball. The football on this one.
Hey, Jeff, kind of makes them look bad?
Just kind of? Yeah, well, I mean, if
are you kidding me? You said it, or JP said, this is when you're going to draw a hard line? I mean, you had the domestic abusers, the drug addicts, the multiple suspensions, and we're going to give those guys, we're going to stand by them and give them second, third, fourth, fifth, eighth chances. You're a great running back. He's being investigated and there's rumors of possible suspension coming there.
Yep.
And the guy who gets falsely accused, you cut?
Yeah.
What a joke.
What a joke. JP got these numbers, and I saw the same numbers. And I'm going to go ahead and read them for
you,
JP.
Do it.
The Cowboys, over a fixed period of time, I'm not sure how, what is it, since 2014.
Yeah.
Okay, since 2014, have had 15 players that have missed a combined 100 games. If you look around the league, the next closest team are the Cleveland Browns, who their 10 players missed 54 games. And then the next team is the Baltimore Ravens with 9 players, 55 games. So the Cowboys not only have a lead, but they have a significant lead.
It's a boat race.
In that category.
Not even close. The Broncos and John Elway agreed to a new 5-year contract. The Broncos 67-29 during his 6 seasons in control of football operations, and he got a promotion too. He's now president of football operations and the GM, Tony.
I think he was already that.
No, he was vice president of
football. I know, but he was, I mean, his title might have been vice president, but there was nobody in that building telling John Elway what to do.
On the football side of things, you are correct.
From what I've heard, on every side of the building, there was no one telling John Elway what to do. I think his title now probably represents better what he's always been, and that's the man in charge. His record proves it, stands by it. What do you want to say? I mean, he should be the highest paid GM. He is, of the last 5 years, he's made the moves.
Wait. He should be the highest paid GM.
Well, I mean, if you look at what he's done the last 5 years.
He won a Super Bowl. You got Peyton Manning there.
I know, but I mean, whoever the general manager is for the New England Patriots might have an argument against you.
Okay. Bill Belichick.
Yes.
So he's one of the best. How about that?
Very underpaid, by the way.
How do you know? No one even knows what Bill Belichick makes.
I think it's a blank check, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think he gets whatever he wants. But here's the criticism of John Elway. His drafts have not been very good. He's made his hay in free agency. But I don't think his drafts have been great.
Next question there is, who's the quarterback?
Hence.
It's competition.
Him and Paxton Lynch, the first rounder from last year.
Yeah, it's
A good
something to watch. Yeah.
And, hey, look, I know that at the end of OTAs, one of the Denver Bronco players, I want to say it was the wide receiver, the veteran guy who was former Pittsburgh.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah,
Emmanuel Sanders.
Gave rave reviews to Paxton Lynch's performance at the end of OTAs and minicamp. So, you know, it'd be a good battle. Very good battle.
What would you guys do with $150,000 if you had it in your hand right now?
Invest it.
In the bank, yeah.
Would you invest in jewelry?
Not a good investment.
Julio Jones apparently did. He was jet skiing on Lake Lanier. One earring fell off when he came up from underwater. $150,000 worth of earring missing in Lake Lanier. Divers searched. A local TV crew was in tow on this search, but no chance of finding it in the muddy, tree-filled bottom of Lake Lanier. So he's out.
You know what happened?
$150,000.
You know what happened?
I hope he had insurance on that.
Well, I hope so too. But I guarantee you what happened. Okay, he got thrown from the jet ski, and my first thought was, you have how many millions of dollars invested in Julio Jones as a wide receiver?
A whole lot.
And he's on Lake Lanier getting thrown from a jet ski. Okay, so
right before training camp.
And he loses an earring. Okay, the earring cost $150,000, but the player is, what is he, like $14, $15 million a year type player, maybe more? Okay, so I don't care about the earring if I'm Thomas Dimitroff and the head coach, what's his name, for the Atlanta Falcons.
Greg, new guy.
Yeah, the guy from Seattle. But that's what I would have been concerned about. But I'm sure that when he hit the water, the earring pops out, it's floating down, and there's a bass. And he goes, ooh, a minnow. And he sees the shimmer coming off of this probably like 4-carat diamond earring and inhales it. So somewhere in Lake Lanier, there's going to be a fisherman that's going to catch a bass that has about a $150,000 earring in its belly. That's my philosophy on that. Mm.
So a couple things on that. One, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, his name is Dan Quinn.
Thank you.
Quinn, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome. Two, a couple life lessons here, boys and girls. Number one, don't ever spend $150,000 on any piece of jewelry, especially one earring. At least get a set if you're going to pay that much. Two.
Wait a minute. What?
If you're going to spend that much on jewelry, for goodness sake, don't wear it jet skiing, inner tubing, water skiing, or any other such said water sport. Take it off. Those are the life lessons we can learn from this situation.
Hmm. Hope it's not a catch and release situation for the fishermen.
I hope not.
That's what you do with bass. You don't eat bass. You catch them and you throw them back. You'll never know.
You don't mount them on the wall anymore, do you?
Not everybody throws them back.
You eat bass, though? You eat largemouth bass?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
No, come on, like? Logs. You do
it's
not
that
eat
good,
bass.
There's a reason why nobody eats
crappie
or crappie or speck, whatever you want to call it. But
those things will eat anything. I'm not eating that.
No one eats bass.
I did for years.
For years?
Yeah, but I never checked the...
That explains a lot.
I should have been checking the stomach for NFLers out water skiing, losing earrings, and I might have came across, $150,000 diamond earring. Wow. I guarantee you every bass fisherman is going to be checking the bass in that area.
One final thought. The Baltimore Ravens are discussing Colin Kaepernick, reportedly, after Flacco's injury. Flacco's out, 4 to 6 weeks? Could miss the first couple weeks of the regular season. And
what
if that's
the
case.
Flacco injury?
I forget what it was.
Back.
Yes, back injury.
Back
injury, and they're saying 2 to 6 weeks, they're not positive.
Yeah, and if that's the case, it could be week 3 he makes his debut against the Jags.
It was interesting reading John Harbaugh's comments about it, saying, we want to find out what's his priorities, but obviously familiarity with his brother, coached him in San Francisco, and Greg Roman, who was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, is in Baltimore now, so it could happen. Maybe Colin Kaepernick ends up in Baltimore.
We'll see. Tony, we'll see you tomorrow at practice.
Looking forward to it, boys.
Tony Maselli, Jeff Logman, well done. For everyone involved, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.